We'll read our text this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Our text begins in verse 15 and it goes to verse 18 today, but we're going to start reading in verse 13. I just love how verse 13 is worded. Okay, verse 13, Ecclesiastes 7, the Bible says, "Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider, God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him." Now, verse 15. "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness." So he's saying in his life he made observation that a just man perishes, and then he observes that a wicked man prolongs his life. Well, that's disturbing. And that's what he's saying. Verse 16. "Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?" Seems like Solomon is a little bit confused when you read that. He's not confused. We'll explain what he means here in just a minute. Verse 17, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Now he brings it together in verse 18. "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." So today we're going to be talking about God's timetable. And what we need to do is trust God's timing. And that's the title this morning, Trust God's Timing. Father, I pray one more time your blessing on the lesson. Guide us in your path. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So when we talk about God's timetable or trusting God's timing, what we're really talking about is being patient. Being patient to let God work and to trust that He is working even in those times when it seems like from your point of view He isn't working. And so when we say trust God's timing, that's what we're talking about. Being patient to let God work. I picture self-control when I think of this. I picture a dad who has a toddler and has a foam baseball bat, and he's just hitting his dad on the head with the foam baseball bat. And the dad is just sitting there taking it. And he's just staring off into the abyss. You know, and I've been there before, by the way, you know. I remember times when we had pillow fights, which we don't do anymore because they got pretty violent, where the pillows, you know, I was getting blindsided and I thought I was going to get a concussion. So maybe we needed to do a different thing than pillow fights. The boys miss it. They're like, "Dad, we never do pillow fights anymore." Yeah, and I'm still alive. So it worked out. but I think of patience that way, a dad who's patient with his children. I'm able to apply this quite a bit at times. Ethan, just the other day, is he in here? He's not. He is in class. So Ethan was, you know, he's just wild and it's, no. and we try to get his attention, you know, and there's various things that we try to do to, you know, apply God's word and parent properly and help him to be steered in his energy in the right way. And he loses control. And And you're thinking, did you forget everything? And he did. He did forget. But he, in his antics, was getting, you know, where Melissa and I were kind of wanting to lose control, you know. Patience wasn't as much as it maybe should have been. And in those times, you know, you feel like you're, you know, as a parent, you feel like the you're walking out on a frozen lake, and the waters get, you know, the ice is getting thinner. And it's going to be just a little while, you start hearing it crack. That's your patience. It's that thin ice. And it's starting to crack because they're pushing you, you know. And you're going to crack and fall through, and it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be good. But it happens so that Ethan does that at times. But at the same time he's doing that, another one of my kids is doing this. Now, if somebody was just snapping their fingers like that, eventually my patience would wear thin. But it's not the snapping that was making it, you know, that was the problem, okay? Remember, we already are walking on thin ice over here with this. And now we have another one who's doing this. He's in his own little world. But it gets better. Because we have another one who's over here doing this. This is absolutely a true story, by the way. And then the other one, he's just singing. I'm like, so we're already walking on thin ice if none of those other three things were happening. So what was the problem with this? The timing. Bad timing, buddy. Stop snapping the fingers if you want to keep those fingers. Stop slapping the paper unless you want to eat that paper. It's not the slapping of the paper or the singing at the high-pitched voice. It's the timing. So what happens in our life is we expect that things will go smoothly. And we try to behave in a way so that things will go smoothly, you know? And often in life, when things aren't going smoothly, we can deduce, we can do our own investigation to find out, you know, I feel like I know why things aren't going smoothly right now. Because of some choices that I made back here, whether it's disobedience to God, or I made some poor choices financially, or we can conclude why we're going, sometimes the road isn't smooth, it's a rocky time, and we're going through struggles, and we can look back and we can say, well, you know, I think we're going through this because of the choices we made back there. And we can see that. And most often it's true that it works that way. But sometimes we go through a thing, we're going through something, a road that's not smooth, when we expect it to be smooth. We go through a rocky season when we're having trouble figuring out why this is happening. Because it seems as though we've been doing the right things and we've been on the right path, but now all of these things over here are happening and I'm having trouble reconciling why this is happening whenever it seems as though this is what our behavior was. We've acted righteously. We've done the right things. We've been involved with the right things. We've made wise choices back here. But yet, right now, it seems like the timing is off. It's not matching. The consequences don't seem to be matching what choices have been made. And those are the times that are hard for us. Whenever we can see, okay, I can see why this is happening in my life, those are not as troubling. But whenever things aren't happening the way you expect things to happen, good or bad, those are troubling times. And that's what Solomon is indicating here. He's talking about God's timetable, and it's true that we trust God's timetable, and we've been talking, I think, from time to time about how God has his timetable and we have our timetable, and they most often don't match each other. But when you're going through it, we acknowledge at the depth of our heart that we trust God and we believe God, but right now I don't understand his timetable. I don't understand his timing with things. It seems as though my patience is wearing thin. I'm getting on thinner ice, and it's not just because of one thing. It's because of one thing and another thing and another thing and another thing, and it's all sort of adding together, and it's making the ice that I'm walking on in life get even thinner. So I'm losing patience. Solomon, I think, is seeing this. Look at verse 15. He says, "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. Now he speaks of what he sees. He says, "There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness." So the first part of the verse, he speaks of a just man, or somebody who is doing right. He's following God. He's doing things as best he can tell. We're not talking about somebody who's sinless with perfection, but somebody who is, well as he can tell, he's doing things the way God wants him to. He's obeyed the Lord. He's chosen God's path. But what he's observing about that man is the path that he's on is leading to what Solomon says is perish. In other words, he's seeing good people suffer. The last part of the verse, he says, "And there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness." So the other side of the coin is a man who is not doing right. He's not obeying or trusting or living justly as it relates to God. And he's prospering. He's thriving. It's like good people who suffer and bad people who thrive. That was disturbing to him. Now, just as though things like that are disturbing to Solomon, that still happens today, doesn't it? And it's disturbing to us today, where we see godly people suffer, righteous people suffer, people who've done right, and they're on the right path, and they've been godly, and under the umbrella of what we would say righteousness or holiness, they've been faithful, yet they suffer. And it's disturbing to see. And those who are in wickedness and have no desire for God and give no glory to God, and it seems as though they thrive and they prosper. So Solomon sees it, and we see it today. In fact, it seems as though sometimes it goes directly against what the Bible says, this concept. Let me read a couple of scripture to you. You don't have to turn there. But in Exodus, it says this: "Honor thy father and thy mother." Okay, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Then he said this: "That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So God says, honor your father and your mother, and I'll bless you. Your days will be long on the land. That's what it says. It says this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. "Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day." In other words, trust God, obey God, know his word and follow him, "that it may go well with thee." Listen to that. You trust God, you obey God, and it says that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So we're seeing promises. We also, I mentioned to somebody just a little bit ago, actually, about Psalm 1. Listen to this. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That's influences in your life, by the way. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." By the way, what does God want you to do? Read the Bible every day? No. Not just read the Bible. Meditate. Amen. Meditate. Which means think about it throughout the day. Memorize it. Write it on the table of your heart and consider it throughout your day. Meditate, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall, you say it?
Prosper.
So God says you'll prosper. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
What about the other side of that? The ungodly are not so. Just chew on that for a minute. The ungodly who deny the word of God, do not meditate on the word of God, have no interest in the things of God, which is all around us in this world, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Why? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall, what's the last word?
Perish.
So one will prosper and one will perish. And that's what God said. And the readers of Solomon, or of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's saying here, they would have known those scripture, just like you and I know those scripture. And by the way, we sang the song this morning, standing on the promises. And we can stand on the promises of God.
Amen.
I'm saying that there are times when the timing of God feels off to us. When it seems like we've done right, but the promises are not being fulfilled. We're getting the other side of it. We're getting the struggle when it seems as though we should be getting the blessings. And we're getting the curses when it seems as though we shouldn't be getting the curses. It feels that way. The timing doesn't feel right. It's not that we don't trust God's promises, or at least we wouldn't admit that we don't trust God's promises, or that we're being tempted not to trust God's promises. But the timing doesn't seem right. Solomon is indicating that. He's saying this is a reality. Can I tell you that God... I'm going to read a scripture to you. I think this is going to be helpful. Listen to this. It says this in Psalm 73. Don't turn there, but listen closely. In verse number, if you're taking notes, you can write this down and look at it later. Psalm 73, verse 3. Listen to what this psalmist indicated. For I was envious at the foolish. Now, it seems to me that somebody who doesn't understand God's timetable, when things are happening and it seems like it shouldn't be happening and we're struggling with patience, and we're not understanding the timing of what God is doing, then we would say this. For I was envious at the foolish. Well, why would he say that? When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The psalmist said that. He saw the prosperity of the world, and he said, well, I'm envious of that. Listen to what it says later on in that same passage, Psalm 73. And they say... somebody who is wanting to trust God. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge of the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. But do you know what the conclusion of the matter is? The psalmist indicates, until, the psalmist says, I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. So Solomon says, I saw their prosperity, there was envy there, but you know what I found out in the end? Is I began to acknowledge that God knew what they were doing, and there was an end associated to what they were doing. The psalmist said that. As a matter of fact, we were just talking about this in Hosea, on Wednesday, listen to this verse. And they considered not in their heart, speaking of Israel, that I remember all their wickedness. Why would they think that? Because they're prosperous in their wickedness. And they thought, well, God obviously isn't thinking too much about what I'm doing. No. God says, I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my eyes. So, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon indicates this paradox, what it seems to be a paradox, where godly people suffer and righteous Rather, the unrighteous or wicked are prosperous. Look what he says next. He says, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? So what he's not saying there is don't be zealous. He's not saying don't be zealous for God. We should be zealous for God. We should be excited for the things of God. So what's he saying then? Well, let's read the next verse and then we'll show you what he's saying. Then he says this, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish, why shouldest thou die before thy time? So first of all, in verse 16, he's not saying that we shouldn't be zealous. And in verse number 17, he's not saying that, hey, as long as you sin in moderation, it's okay. Don't be overmuch wickedness. Now, you can be over a little bit of wickedness, and that's okay. He's not saying that. So what he's talking about is our misunderstanding of God's timeline. Which, by the way, when we don't understand God's timeline, then our motivations will be wrong. What do you mean? I mean this. I mean we will be motivated to do right because of our expectation of blessings. Well, I do right, and then I can expect these blessings in this context. You see, in our actions, behind those actions are motivations. Why do we do what we do? Well, you know, I'm going to do the right thing because I know that if I do this, then I will get this. Here's what Solomon says. Do you know that? Now, in the end, do we know that we're going to be on the right path and God's going to bless? Yes, we do know that with confidence because we stand on the promises of God. But do we know when blessings will come? No, we do not know that. So we know that if we do right, then blessings will come. But here's what we don't know. We don't know when they're going to come. So what Solomon is indicating is what motivates sometimes people into righteousness is their expectation of immediate blessings. And he said, you better be mindful of the faulty thinking there in the timeline of God when blessings will actually come. And wickedness? Well, you know, if I, listen to this as a motivation, if I avoid wickedness, right, then I'll be blessed. Well, yeah, but just because we avoid wickedness does not mean that we avoid suffering. And so Solomon says there's something that should motivate our righteousness and avoiding of wickedness. There's something that should motivate it, and it's not our expectation of immediate blessings and our expectation of avoiding suffering. Those are not the right motivations. Well, what is it then? What should motivate us in a deeper sense than any of those two things? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at verse 18. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. By the way, what a great way to start this principle he's about to say. It's probably good that you take hold of this. Because you're going to need it whenever you're suffering, in other words. Or when you're going through a hard season and it seems like, I don't understand God's timing. Yea, look what he says. Also from this, withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. So he speaks of fearing God. He speaks of God is the judge. God will bless. God will accomplish his purpose. And get this, he'll do it in his time. He won't do it in our time. He'll do it in his time. So God works. God blesses. The psalmist who didn't understand why the wicked were prosperous, he understood their end. So there's a principle that should motivate us, and he says it's fear God. Fear him. It reminds me of Hosea, when Hosea said, we just quoted the verse, God says, I will remember. You know, I forget things. Raise your hand if you forget things. Oh, man. I'm not going to tell you something important then. There's a lot of hands went up right there. So I said to one of the boys the other day, you'll never guess who it was. But I said, when we get home, you're going to be in trouble. Okay? So your behavior, not acceptable. When we get home, we're going to talk about this more. Okay? But we got home and I forgot. I mean, he wasn't going to remind me. Hey, Dad, remember we were going to have this conversation about my behavior.
Maybe Dad will keep forgetting about this, you know.
And I did. I forgot. So I remembered the next day, but then it's like, all right, well. God doesn't forget. You know, he knows. He knows about our actions. He knows about our faith. And there ought to be a level of fear there. Fear knowing that we're on the right path, or we need to be on the right path. And when we're on the right path, that we can know that God isn't going to forget about us. Go to Psalm 55. Lose your place here in Ecclesiastes. We're going to finish our lesson in Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Look what it says beginning in verse number, or just we'll just read verse 23. But thou, O God, the psalmist says, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Now here's something about that. Listen. Solomon, or rather, the writer of Psalms here knows that God will bring them down. He knows that. He doesn't know when, but he knows that God will. You know, that's where we need to be. Where we say, like the psalmist here, I know God is faithful. I know that he will do as he said. I know that I can stand on his promises. So we go on in the psalm. It says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And then it summarized our spirit in the last part of that verse. But I will trust in thee. So we cannot control the flow of blessings and curses. But you know what we can do? We can trust him. We can be patient. Usually patience is related to how fast or slow God is working. And usually God is working a lot slower than we want him to. But to trust is to say, God, I trust your timing. And God, I know that you haven't forgotten about me. How good is that? God, I know you didn't forget about me. Amen. Remember I told you we forget things? I've left, this might be why we're getting repaid with some of the snapping and paper thing, because I left two of them on two different occasions at church. Went home, I mean they were small, fell asleep on the pew, and we went home. And we drove separately, so I think that we each thought, well, he must be in their car, you know. We drove home, and we're at home for a while. We're like, hey, where's Andrew at? I think he's still at the church. We drove back and we rushed back over there. He was there, still asleep on the second row. Like, oh, he didn't even know. No pain, no gain, right? Like, wait a second. He didn't know, so it's all good. Did the same thing to Ethan. You know, we might forget about our kids, but God won't forget about us. He won't forget. Let me finish with this. I read this story recently about a family that were swimming in the Atlantic Ocean, a father, a son, and the son was 8 years old and his daughter was 10 years old. And they were swimming out in the Atlantic near at the coast of New Jersey and having a great time. Very good swimmers, but just having a good time. And while in the process of swimming, the dad realized that they were caught in the current. And the daughter was further out than the son and the dad. And so the dad grabbed up his son, was able to beat the current and got back in, but knew that his daughter wasn't going to be able to do that. So he yelled to her and he said to her to continue to swim. And if she got tired, just float on her back, because she could do that all day. And he was going to come back for her. He swam with his son back to the shore and mounted a search party. And it took 4 hours frantically searching for his daughter. And whenever they found her, she was calmly floating on her back. Pulled her up into the boat and was amazed of how calm she was. And they asked her, they said, "How is it after all of this time that you were so calm just floating in the water?" And the daughter said these words. She said, "My daddy told me that he was going to come back. I just knew that he was." Amen. So in other words, her calmness came because, and her patience came because, she trusted her daddy. Well, how much more can we trust our Father who is faithful? You say, well, it's the timing. It's not our timing. It's His timing. But I see the righteous suffer, and God sees. And He'll make it right in His time. But I see the wicked prosper, and God sees. And He'll make it right in His time. So what do? We fear God. We trust Him. And we're patient. Amen. We say, "God, I trust Your timing. So I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm going to keep staying faithful to Your path, obedience to You, trusting You." Let me encourage you this morning, please, to consider this. Trust God's timing. Father, I thank You for the encouragement of Your word, and Lord, a lot of studies, and we'll even in our main message this morning study more scripture. And Lord, as we consider the things that we experience, trials and heartaches at times, and at times there's the blessings, and we glorify You in those blessings. And then there's those times when we don't have the blessing, and we wonder. But yet, Lord, we also know that Your timing is better than ours, and we trust You. So I pray that You'd help us to embrace that principle today, so that each and every day we can meditate on Your word, to be faithful to You, trusting Your promises, fearful of You, and Lord, with that in our heart, knowing that You will, in Your time, do Your work. And so we'll give You glory for what You do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're